going to look today at the topic of the joy of prayer. Starting off by thinking about, well, some of the misconceptions about prayer that are out there. And, you know, you hear them all the time. I mean, probably hardly a week goes by, or at least a couple of weeks go by, before you don't hear somebody saying something like, well, you can at least pray. Or, you know, well, at the very least, you can pray. That's what it always sounds like. It's like something that we've tried everything else, and, well, we might as well pray. Nothing to lose, right? And that is such a low regard for prayer. I can at least pray for you. You know, to me, it's a very, very low standard set for what prayer really is in the Word of God. So I thought we'd look at that a little bit. Second Kings, chapter 20, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order. For thou shalt die and not live. Verse 2, then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. If Hezekiah had not prayed in this situation, would this have happened? No, it wouldn't have happened. How come God didn't just say, well, I know what's going to happen, I'll just make him well? See, you'll see time and time again in God's word, there is a requirement for us to pray. Now you may think, well, what's the point? You know, God could just do it. Well, that's not how the word of God works. Here in this situation, there was a need, and it says here, and God specifically says, I heard your prayer. So, you know, if Hezekiah hadn't taken the time to do that, then there would be no, I heard your prayer. And Isaiah would have just walked right out of the court, as far as we know from the word here. It is, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day, thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord. The Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? This is an amazing record. And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord. Look what he had to, he asked him the question. And then Isaiah went back and cried unto the Lord. Prayer again. You see, if there's prayer involved in Isaiah and Hezekiah, and then when he has the answer from him, he goes to God and he prays again. Why didn't God just do it? Well, that's not how it works. Here it says, and Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. So there's a requirement for us to pray. You know, when Assyria does attack, there's quite an attack on Hezekiah. What is their response? This is one of the first times you see a couple of guys getting together and praying. You know, the joint prayer between Hezekiah and Isaiah. Their response to an attack by a kingdom is not, well, we're done, we might as well pray. No, they prayed. They took it right away to God and said, this is our problem. Can you help us? There's always a requirement. Remember the thing with Elijah? It didn't rain for 3 years, over 3 years, right? It didn't rain. And that, and yet it says that Elijah had to pray. Why didn't God just say, okay, I'm not going to make it rain? No. It even says, in fact, that is used as one of the examples in the New Testament, right? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it's talking about that 3 years of time where it didn't rain. Elijah had to be involved in that. Prayer was a necessity. It wasn't just a, well, we might as well, or something, you know. It was a necessity. It was something that, without it, that would not have happened. In Mark chapter 1. You know, if prayer is such a, as many think, a secondary item in the Word and something not so vital, then Jesus Christ would never have prayed because, you know, it's not important. And if anybody probably could have been exempt from prayer, you think it was Jesus Christ. And yet the prayer life of Jesus Christ is probably the greatest prayer life of anyone ever lived. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. So this is the way that he set his day. It wasn't that, you know, well, if I get a chance, he got up, deliberately made it in his schedule, so to speak, to get up a great while before day and to pray. This is the Lord. It wasn't the last resort. It was the first thing, you know, and I read these records and I think, do we organize our lives to pray, or do we just pray if we have the opportunity to, or I might get to it, or there might be a few, you know, or is it that we organize our lives to pray? Jesus Christ did, and he's the only begotten Son of God. And he thought it was important to pray to his Father. Why would anybody ever think it's a last resort, or, you know, well, we might as well pray? No, you pray. This is what you do. In Luke chapter 5. Verse 15. But so much the more went there a fame of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. You know, how do you deal with these multitudes of people coming to him for healing and deliverance? It says he got off by himself in the wilderness, and he prayed. You know, he needed God's help. He needed God's intervention. He needed God's wisdom. So he, in order to deal with the things of life, he prayed. It wasn't like, okay, I'm going to try to hire 1,000 workers and organize things. And then if that doesn't work, then I'll pray. He prayed. He went off and got quiet and pray. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Sorry, Luke chapter 6, while we're here. Luke 6, sorry, missed that. Luke 6, 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. So it sounds like morning wasn't the only time he prayed. And this time he prayed all night. He prayed all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called on to him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. What was he praying about? He had a responsibility. A weighty decision had to be made by the Lord. So in order to help him make this weighty decision, he spent all night in prayer. His response to having to deal with this very, you know, very important thing coming up here, choosing the 12, who, by the way, will be seated in judging the 12 tribes of Israel someday, according to the word. to pick those, he spent the night in prayer. You know, so that's how he dealt with. He dealt with prayer, with the multitudes coming to him. He dealt through prayer to making weighty decisions. Look at now. I go to Matthew 14. In this case here, not a weighty decision, but quite a serious occurrence in his life. You see, I mean, he handled all aspects of life with prayer. Look at verse 12 in Matthew 14. And the disciples came, and this is just after Herod had beheaded John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was Jesus Christ's cousin. He was born 6 months before the Lord, and they just came, verse 12, and the disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. They came and told Jesus, John the Baptist had been beheaded. That is not good news. You know, it's the last thing you want to hear. And yet, look, when Jesus heard it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. So he's gone off, he went off, he was going to go off by himself. And when the people heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. So he had just heard about John the Baptist being beheaded. So there's crowds coming to him, and he compassionately healed their sick. And when it was evening, where are we here? Thank you. Disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go unto the villages and buy themselves victuals." And Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart, give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "You know, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This is all happening just after he heard that John the Baptist had been beheaded. And he had tried to get off alone by himself, yet the demands of life are there on him. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. So after this was all done, the feeding, the healing, he put them in a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. He himself sent the multitudes away. Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. He finally got to do what he had set off to do when he had heard about the news about John the Baptist. Yet, he didn't just say, well, didn't get to it. He did the necessary things in his life he had to do. And then by the time this happened, evening was come, he was there by himself. And what do you think he was praying about? What do you think he was talking to God about? He had just heard about John the Baptist being beheaded. You know, so situations that required information for decisions, situations that required, you know, handling matters of his life, situations that handled requiring, you know, news like John the Baptist being beheaded, Jesus Christ dealt with those through prayer. That was his way. And he's the Lord. You know, why should we ever think that prayer is secondary to life or a last resort or something? We might get to it. But the Lord did not think of it that way. In Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6, verse 9. They asked him, you know, how should we pray? And he says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, in verse 9. Mm-hmm. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There's a record in where it talks about that God knows what you have need of before you ask Him. So if God knows what you need of before you ask Him, why should we pray? And the answer is very, very simple. Because God says to. It's not complicated. God says to pray. You know, even if God knows, and here's an example. Jesus Christ gave him an example. You know, and here, as we know, we looked at it before. I mean, the example, what does the example teach us about prayer? It teaches us that God is first in prayer. He starts out, hallowed be thy name. That's the, so there's some great keys in this prayer for us. You know, hallowed be your name. So, you know, we don't go to prayer and say, okay, I'm going to whip off this list of 10 things and just get through them and, bless this and on your way. You start off with reverence for God. Maybe you don't even get through your list. Maybe you only spend time praying for one person that day because that's just what the need is that day. You know, that'll never happen if you don't start off. We don't start with hallowed be your name. God is first. A reverence for Him. That's what the Lord had, reference for Him. And the rest of the prayer, you can look at it. The whole point of that prayer is to see God's will be done on the earth. You know, not a declaration of all the things that are in my will that God should do, but what was God's will in the situation. And He says, thy will, and then He thanks God for protection, thanks Him for the daily needs. And that's the example. I mean, you just use that as an example. Prayer, boy, it'll just make exciting prayer life. Just recognizing God is first, reverence for Him, recognizing that's to get understanding of His will, thankful for protection and blessing and the daily needs of life, and protection from evil. You know, it's a great prayer. And as we know, not to be mindlessly repeated around the world, but to give us an example, Matthew 26. Well, did Jesus Christ follow His own advice? Let's see. Here's an example of another weighty time in Jesus Christ's life. Let's see how He handles it. What is His heart in this time here? This is in the garden in Matthew 26:36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. So it's a tough time for Him. This is not light matters here. Then saith He unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me. And He went a little farther, and fell on His face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. Isn't that exactly what He told them when He taught them to pray? He said, Thy will be done. So here He is. He's doing exactly this. You know, He's going to God in prayer, asking for what? For God's will to be done. Did He make a request for Himself? Yes, He did. But in the end, He said, I will turn over all my requests and submit them all to what You want Me to do, what Your will in the situation is. That's what He said to him. Thy will be done. Verse 40. And He continued, cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and said unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. There's a reason to pray. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So obviously prayer will help that. He said, He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from Me, except I drink it, Thy will be done. And He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, left them again, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. You know, he went to, and each time he said, God, I'm seeking Your will. I had a little difficulty, what's going to happen? You know, it's any other way, but in the end, I'm going to do what You want Me to do. You know, that's prayer. What a great heart for prayer. He followed His own advice. This is what He had told Him to do. Romans chapter 8. You know, in the lands and times of the Bible, When you go to the book of Acts, you see there were hours of prayer. What a concept. They had set aside hours of the day during which prayer. Can you imagine, Prime Minister of Canada announces that every day from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 and 7 to 8 p.m. will be designated national hours of prayer.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. can you imagine? They had hours of prayer. Prayer, if you want, you want to see a country be successful and blessed and people be blessed, what a great idea, to seek for God's intervention, to seek for his help. And they had hours of prayer. And for us, we were talking about this before fellowship started, verse 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We were talking about speaking in tongues. We have another lever of prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have, that the people in the Old Testament never had. We not only can we pray with our understanding, but we can speak in tongues and pray. And it's really interesting. God says, we have an infirmity. We don't know what to pray for a lot of times. And so God says, I'll deal with that. I'll give them tongues. Because now they can pray even when they don't know what to pray for. And it's an infirmity. So here you are now, we can pray. What a great blessing. And then verse 28, which is many times stuck up on walls. Right? And we know that all things work together for good. And love God and what it called according to his. What's the context? Right? Speaking in tongues, staying in touch with God, walking by the Spirit. All things don't work together for you very well if you walk away from God and, do stupid things. Okay, it's just that's not how life is. That's not what the scripture is saying. But prayer, certainly a huge, huge part of your daily life, living, your planning, priority, your response to dealing with situations that are heavy or difficult. Or we even look at all the times when people went to prayer and thankfulness. We can look at so many records in the Old Testament, Solomon at the temple and those kind of records where David, just blessing God and thanking him. Didn't even look at that. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So, Paul writing my revelation, he was going to pray by his understanding, and he was going to pray by the Spirit. Both available. What a great blessing we have to the work of Jesus Christ to have that available to us. And we'll close in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always with all prayer, all perseverance, all saints. What a great opportunity we have. So much is accomplished by just prayer. And the examples that we have of men and women in the Bible who dealt with situations that were rough or weighty or heavy, or their response wasn't, okay, I'll just might as well throw up a prayer. And no, it was like, God, we need your help. And that was the solution. It wasn't to find a solution. That was the solution many times. Because do you remember the times where they prayed and they didn't have to do anything? the solution was God took care of it. You know, so many times, not as it, you know, and even just looking for a solution, it happens to be the solution because you just don't know what to do. You don't know, and in fact, you may not have the ability to deal with what you're trying to do. But God certainly has the ability. You know, and for us to look at the example of Jesus Christ to see what he did, the Lord, the only begotten Son of God, to pray, to set his pattern in his life, to make provision to pray, to set it into the schedule to pray, whether it's morning, nighttime, doesn't matter, but to count it as the way to set the day, the way to deal with weighty decisions, difficult times in life, to handle them with prayer, and then to seek God's will with reverence. Another great example that the Lord gave to us. And then, you know, and then beyond that, by his walk, having made available for us another way to pray when we don't even know what to do in situations. So we certainly are blessed, and prayer isn't just prayer. We ought to have great joy in prayer. Not again, as I mentioned, we only looked at really a couple of aspects of it, but prayer is so much a part of God's word. And we ought to treat it with the reverence that, you know, God has set in his word. And we ought to enjoy the blessings that prayer makes available to us. So let's have great joy in prayer this week and the rest of our lives. You know, that's it.
Thanks.